Minnesota, the biggest killing of people by approved by a president, a guy named Little Crow, who was leading a revolt against the United States Army up in Minnesota. Fortunately, the same place they had Dred Scott. And
you are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshie on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network for podcasting, for live program scheduling. Hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Come feel what You are listening to African Perspectives, where we review the issues of our day from an African worldview and African-centered perspective. This program is unapologetically African. It is a custom in the African tradition to ask elders for permission to speak, having been granted permission. To our ancestors, whose shoulders we stand on, to our elders, whose shadows we walk in, I greet you, my dear brothers and sisters. In the language of one of the greatest civilizations on this planet, it gave the world the basic disciplines of knowledge of science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it, we did it. The Greeks called it Egypt, but they called themselves Kemet, and Kemet means land of the blacks. I greet you all in the Kemetic language, the word of peace, Hotep. It is truly an honor and a privilege to pour libation because we truly do stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. We're going to use water because water has no enemies. Water is the great cleanser, the great purifier. Everything on the planet that lives, it needs water, from a tiny microscopic organism to a tall redwood tree. We pour water into the earth to invoke the spirits of our ancestors, and we say the word Ashe, which simply means so be it. So we pour this libation to God, for all that God has done and for all that God will do. We say, Ashe. We pour this libation to Mother Africa, birthplace of all humanity, everyone who has lived, everyone who will live in the future. We all have a common ancestral root in Africa. We pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. I mentioned Kemet in the opening. Kemet was the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture. But there were others as well, as Timari, Punt, and Nubia. So we pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa, of Ghana, Mali, Songhai, Benin, Great Zimbabwe. Civilizations that were flourishing and growing while Europe was in a medieval or dark age. The University of Sankore at Timbuktu, an outstanding educational institution. So we pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the Ma'afa, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the Infakani, the great tragedy, uprooted out of Africa. Our brothers and sisters lay a carpet along the Atlantic Ocean. We're in North America, South America, Central America, and throughout the diaspora. So we pour this libation to our brothers and sisters who suffered the Ma'afa, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the great tragedy. We pour this libation in their honor and in their memory. We do not know their names, but because of them and their sacrifice, we are here. So we say Ashe. We pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. If you ever heard me do a libation, you will know that we were not slaves. I repeat, we were not slaves. We were captives. What does a captive want to do? Get free. So we pour this libation to all those men and women who fought against enslavement. In fact, I maintain that some of us are more of a slave today than we were in our initial captivity, because some of us are a slave to vice, to corruption, to drugs, sex, and violence. So we pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. Gabriel Prosser, Nat Turner, Dingmark Vesey, Harriet Tubman. We always resisted, and we will always resist. So we pour this libation in the name and the honor of those men and women who fought against our captivity. We pour this libation to those unborn, those young men and women who will once again lead us back on the stage of human history as a free and proud and productive people. We sashay. We pour this libation to brotherhood and sisterhood, together for the union of family. We need each other. We don't have good family life. There's a saying, conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community are bad. The conduct towards each other is not good. Because why? We lack consciousness. And consciousness is more than just awareness. Consciousness is a deeper understanding of who you are historically, who you are culturally. So once we begin to understand the importance of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. Brothers and sisters, let us all say, Ashe, Ashe, Ashe. Shem Hotep means go in peace. Good morning, brothers and sisters. I hear it's a little bit different than what I usually do because I had some technical difficulties. And thank you to my good friend and brother, Brother Kwaku. He came in right on time, and so I was able to play that intro, and I hope to be able to play some music at our break. But this is African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. And I am your host, Brother Oshi, Hotep family. I hope everything is well with you today. Today is Wednesday, the day before the day of misgivings, the day of mourning. And really it's a day of mourning, not just for the indigenous people, but even us, although we'll be celebrating because we have done so. But as I try to do is give the history, give the facts. I know it's not going to stop anything, but you can always come together as a family and break bread. But the commercialization of it, that's what the deal is. And we'll talk about that. This is African Perspectives. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11 Mountain, or 8 to 10 Pacific, or any other time around the world. But if you cannot listen to this program live, you can always go to our archives at timeforanawakening.com. Look for the podcast. Click on that, and you'll see African Perspectives. Click on that, and then there will be programs that are dated and titled, and thanks to Brother Kwaku. Brother, enjoy your family. Enjoy your time there. Have a safe trip back. Let's get together when you get back. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. All times are going to give our Eastern times. Immediately following this program, on Monday and Wednesdays, it is the Black People Matrix with Brother Franklin Jones from 1 to 3. On Monday evening from 6 to 8, Acres of Diamonds with Brother Wahad. At 8 p.m., 8 to 9, Let's Buy Black 365. After that program is Conversations, Reparations with Brother Jamoke and Sister Lacey from 9 to 10. On Tuesdays, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers from 8 to 10. On Wednesdays from 8 p.m. to 10, Revive with Sister POC, Proof of Consciousness. On Thursdays, tomorrow, Relationship with Joey and Troy at 7 p.m. If it's Friday and it's 8 p.m. Eastern, that's right, it's time for an awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. Time for an awakening. And then on Sunday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. The reason why I don't do Brother Troy Wilmore, he has a job at Temple now, so he's not doing the Saturday morning sports talk. There's an opening for somebody. There you go. On Sunday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., it's Revive with Sister POC. And then Sunday evening at 7 p.m., once again, it's time for an awakening. And every Monday through Friday at 10 p.m. Eastern to 12 a.m., it is the Warren Ballantyne Show right here on Time for an Awakening Media. And the number to call is 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. We Buy Black. WeBuyBlack.com. Get everything you need from American African-owned businesses from WeBuyBlack.com. It is the largest online marketplace for American African-owned businesses. It's WeBuyBlack.com. If you don't want to go online and check out those products that are produced by us, which you can have for yourself from us, you can. And if you live in the Atlanta area, You can go to the Greenbrier Mall right off of Georgia Highway. It was exactly right off of Interstate I-75-85 is Georgia 166. Take that, going west, going west. And then there's an exit for the Greenbrier Mall. There you are. And they have a kiosk in the Greenbrier Mall where you can get those products, the laundry detergent, the batteries, the toothbrushes, all little things, deodorants. They have some other new products they keep putting out there. So I'm going to go check it out myself, and then I'll report back to you all the good things at the Greenbrier Mall. But it's online, too. So, Africa for the Africans, with Brother Bomani Tahemba, who is in Ghana. No, excuse me. He is in South Africa. I apologize. He is in South Africa. He is in Johannesburg. Later, he'll be going to Cape Town. He'll be back on December 2nd. We will talk to him then to promote this. The other trip this year, December 24th to January 4th, 2020, and he's going back to Ghana. So check out AfricaForTheAfricans.org. If you want to see photos of previous trips, the latest one was back in May. They're on there. They're on Facebook.com/Bomani. If you want to see videos, go to YouTube.com/Bomani2007. Shrine of the Black Madonna. The Shrine of Black Madonna, located in the West End here in Atlanta. They have all the things that you need. They got furniture, clothing, artwork, figurines. They have Kwanzaa kits. That's right. Kwanzaa's coming up. You may be low on candles. They got candles for you. They also have the Nagash shoes, the red, black, and green shoes. They also have an African Holocaust Museum right there in the shrine. You can call the shrine at 404-549-8676. 404-549-8676. They also have a African history class of Know Thyself. Baba Olatunji is our instructor, and it is free and open to the public from 1:30 to 3:30 on Saturdays, every Saturday. But if you cannot attend, but you like that information, they now have a multimedia library on a disc, I mean, on a plug-in that you put into your computer, that is 7 terabytes of African enlightenment, over 1,500 video files, over 1,500 images, over 40,000 audio files, over 2,000 books at your disposal, the African History Club Multimedia Library. And the number to call to the shrine, once again, is 404-549-8676. The Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall, right next to the kiosk of We Buy Black. That's right. The Medu Bookstore. They have books, postcards, greeting cards, all kind of stuff, T-shirts and things. And so if they don't have the book that you desire, they'll get it for you. Just give them a call at 404-346-3263. 404-346-3263. Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore in Lithonia. My brother, Kazimde Ajamu, give him a call at 404-519-8107. 404-519-8107. There is light in the Black Dot. He has the same thing that you might even get at. You know, he has the gas shoes, the red, black, and green shoes. He has clothing. Of course, he has books. And if he doesn't have the book that you desire, he'll get it for you. Because you know why? There is light in the Black Dot. Us Lifting Us, the Economic Development Cooperative for our people in the spirit of Ujamaa. Yes, they're broadcasting tomorrow. They'll broadcast tomorrow, probably talk about, what's going on. Our program on Blog Talk at 9 p.m. tomorrow. 929-477-2789. 929-477-2789, 9 p.m. Eastern. Us Lifting Us, the Economic Development Cooperative for our people in the spirit of Ujamaa, which is cooperative economics, or as we like to say, family-centered economics. Akabin Institute and Sister Yaba Rudy, her program is upcoming on the 10th of December, Tuesday, December 10th, from 7 p.m. Eastern to 9:30. At Akabin Institute, you can also catch that program also online on Facebook. It is African Warrior Women's Day. There'll be questions, a lecture by Sister Yah, questions and answers. If you have questions, the number to call is 404-753-7237. 404-753-7237. The beautiful work that Brother Baba Barudi and Sister Yah are doing needs to be supported. You need to support Akabin Institute. Please make check or money order out to Akabin Institute. Send it to P.O. Box 10786, Atlanta, Georgia, 30310. Once again, Akabin Institute, P.O. Box 10786, Atlanta, Georgia, 30310. But if you want to use Cash App or PayPal, put it in a dollar sign, the Yah, Y-A-A, the letter M, and then Barudi, B-A-R-U-T-I. Sanjay-Haiti.org, or Sister Gabrielle Areria. Sister Gabby has been doing outstanding work in the northeastern corner of the island of Haiti, the rural area, which is always neglected because there's serious problems in the southern part where Port-au-Prince is and so forth. So, you know, they need help, and she's doing outstanding work. Go online. Check it out for yourself and to make a conscious contribution to help the sister out at Sanjay-Haiti. SONJAYITI.org. Sanjay-Haiti.org. Black Talk Radio Network Project Media Fund. BlackTalkRadioNetwork.com has a project to raise funds to make Black Talk Radio Network stronger and more viable. And we need your help. I'm going to get Brother Scotty Reed on the program, and we're going to talk about that, how important that is, and what we need to do to support it, because it definitely deserves and needs to be supported. So, Inye says, well, man, I keep doing this, but I'm going to do it right now. Brother Minoko Rashidi, go to his, he is in town. He's back at home. He's back in L.A. But go to Brother Minoko, Dr. Minoko Rashidi, drrunoko.com. And on the website, you will see the three countries he's going to. January 21st through February 4th, he's going to Senegal, Gambia, and Guinea-Bissau. Added to the trip in Senegal is a visit to the radiocarbon-dating laboratory established by the great historian and scholar Dr. Cheikh Anta Diop. That should be exciting. The cost of the trip is only $3,800, but if you want a single room to yourself, it's just added $680 for all these trips that you're going to go on. Senegal, Gambia, where you will visit the village of Chafore on the Kimbe-Balongo River, Kunta Kinte, and then Guinea-Bissau. It's all these great trips. And, of course, upcoming trips that he has, he just went on that. That's the one here. That's the one upcoming. Okay, those other ones he just came back from. He has been gone for quite a while. But when you go online, you see the places where he's going to go and some of the buildings and so forth. It's definitely well worth this trip. I mean, you know. So, Brother Renoko Rashidi, my good friend, Brother Renoko. The Inye Sesim of Daily Revolutionary Thought. The Inye Say, I apologize about that. I apologize. Didn't I play that for us once, Oscar Brown Jr.? I apologize for being black. Yeah. I'm going to read November 26th yesterday, because yesterday was my mother's birthday, and I think what is mentioned here, of course, is very poignant, because it talks about love and complementarity, and we need to establish those. That's why Sister Yah is giving her workshop. We need each other. I say that in the libation. We do. And you know it. If we are to be a strong people again, it is not some individual. It is family. I always say that the reason why we don't have good community life is because we don't have good family life. November 26th. The love that we exchange, let it last forever. Let love inspire, encourage, strengthen, and nurture us. Queen Afua. After our vision has been claimed and made a mission without rival, after our truest talents are revealed through an honest striving for independence, after our differences are understood as complementarities and not oppositional forces, after our imperfections are discovered and neutralized and growth does not induce chaos after our bodies know each other and want has matured into need. After our children have multiplied far beyond our immediate genes, after our wealth becomes the family we keep in thought, word, and deed, after we continue moving in the way of warrior healers, even as peers retire in defeat, after we measure among true elders, being asked permission to speak, only after we can know each other in this ways does love come. Affirm. I love my compliment. Affirm, I love my compliment. November 27. The task of nation building is an intentional and continual process, and those persons and institutions that have committed themselves to this task must be assured, not necessarily in terms of success or failure, but in terms of their contributions to this process. Kwesi Okandu. Social institutions, the framework within which each an individual's behavior is molded and directed, are the guide to all of their aspects of culture because of their primary role in systematically sustaining a people. To perceive a person's natural characteristics in the reality they create to serve their interests. These institutions have always been the most important social created, self-regulating instruments through which African people identify and socialize themselves. They are the way in which we have always organized ourselves spiritually, psychologically, and physically. They are what have allowed us to continually model and recreate ourselves in the image of our ancestors, even in times of great difficulty and disruption. Everything done within a social institution, whether completely successful in its given mission or not, must be measured, not based on its success or failure, but as it is in intent. Any assessment of its success or failure, given a positive intent, must be determined how to make it more effective on the next try. In this context, failures are not failures. They are simply lessons learned. Affirm. I measure success based on sincere effort. Ashe. I measure success based on sincere effort. The Inye Sesim of Daily Revolutionary Thought. Today is Wednesday, the day before the day of misgiving, the day of mourning. And I know we saying, Brother Oshie, man, you know, that's what it was. Just like Christmas, we're going to do that thing too, you know. Like, that's what it was, but this is what it is, you know. You got to understand how it evolved and why it evolved. And then you got to understand what we're in. I know now that this celebration of, quote, Thanksgiving, or what we like to say, misgiving, is now celebrated in many parts of the world. That's right. Well, of course, you know, the influence of Western society is profound and deep. You know, the ugliness as well has some of these aspects. And of course, they put that in the perspective of progress, you know. But one thing is for sure, it is always about money. Capitalism. It's always about money. This Thanksgiving holiday, this day of misgiving, is one of the most traveled because it brings families together. Unfortunately, for the people in the Midwest, it's very tough, and it's moving into the New England states, into the Northeast, very bad weather. You know, so some people have left early, you know. Many flights were canceled. Some people just, you know, got to be patient and wait it out, whatever. But see, to me, I've always been, once I know the history of something, it's hard for me to honestly celebrate it and not think of its history. So therefore, I don't celebrate based on what this society dictates, because number one, I don't like the society, and I don't like the way it dictates stuff. So, you know. So I, you know, if they say I should go right, I'm going left. If they say I should go up, then I'm going down. The sky is blue. No, it's gray. Hell, the sky is gray every day in America. It's winter in America. Yeah. Winter in America. Gil Scott-Heron. Sister Marimba, Mama Marimba, she is giving us in the last few years an African-centered, indigenous-centered view of the Day of Misgiving. And that's what I'm saying. You know, I know when I gave a prayer a few years ago, I go to gatherings with my daughter and her friends since I've been here. And they welcome me. And of course, sometimes I even give an opening prayer. And I know one year, a few years ago, I mentioned what was happening with the Dakota Access Pipeline. You know, I threw that in the prayer. I mean, yeah, we should all be thankful, you know, for our health and what we have and all of those things. But we also got to remember about others and what they're going through. And you didn't hear anything about what was happening when those Caucasians said, we're going to run this pipeline. Well, first, of course, they went to Bismarck, North Dakota, and those Caucasians said, oh, hell no. You're not putting a pipeline through here with possible spillage and so forth. No. So they said, okay, cool. We will just run it through indigenous people's land and water. We're not going to say nothing to them. We're just going to do it because that's what we always do because we have no respect for indigenous people's lives and property. We have no respect to anybody outside of us. We're just going to do it. And eventually they did. But the opposition was deep initially, but you didn't hear about it on CNN, MSNBC, Fox, CBS, ABC, ABC, CBS, NBC, whatever. You did not hear it. Only until it got more intensified than they started promoting it, and of course, then Barack Obama got into it, and of course, he put a halt to it, but it didn't mean anything. You know, then many people began to support them. Even a number of Caucasian groups came. There was a veterans group that came and to apologize to them. But to no avail, because once Trump was elected, the Caucasian who was running that pipeline, he said, it's over. You know, because Trump is a big investor. You remember he said it about the situation. Where was that at? Talking about, we want the oil. Don't mess with the oil. In fact, they sent troops to protect the oil. They sent troops to protect the oil. And, of course, one thing that we don't need, you know, is oil. Damn. I just saw another piece on a person who says that the recent piece about this is climate change is a myth. It's a fallacy. I don't know, man, but to me, if you honestly show me, and this is a real picture of glaciers and falling off into ocean levels rising and more flooding, when you show me a picture of intensified storms, hurricanes, tornadoes, drought, because that's what it is. Climate change is the exaggerations of those things that are happening. They don't care because they're looking for short-term profits. To hell with the long-term disaster. That's what they care about. And so there's a lot of good stuff on the internet. In fact, I'm going to play after the second hour piece that I picked off the internet with Nick Cannon. I tell you, I love Nick Cannon. Yeah. Nick Cannon is great. I like Nick Cannon. And so it's called Cannon's Class, and he's at Howard University talking with my good brother and friend, Brother Greg Kamathi Carr, who I was with last weekend, took that picture of me and him with my Africa, Make African Home Again hat. So I'm going to get you one, man. And if you back on what you call this program, Fathead and Roland Martin, make sure you wear your hat. And well, better yet, say, we ain't slaves, man. That used to really bother me about us. I don't care what Caucasians do. I don't care, but damn. I'm saying this is what we do. We must control and change the narrative. We were not slaves. We were captives. Well, anyway, let me get to the reading of the day by Sister Marimba Ani. A group of European scavengers, many of whom had been imprisoned or homeless in New England, arrived in New England in 1820. Slow down here. Arrived in New England in 1620. They first lived on Turtle Island. Half of them died within a few months. Squanto of the Pequot people, who had been enslaved by Europeans and taken to England, spoke English and formed a close relationship with those pitiful migrants. He taught them how to grow corn and to fish, how to prepare certain foods and other survival skills. The Caucasian people saw Squanto as an instrument of their God to help them be his chosen people. In other words, they used him. To them, he and his people were heathens and savages. The worldview of the indigenous people, much like the African worldview, taught them to give freely to those who had nothing. Squanto said to have negotiated a false treaty between the nearby Wampanoag and the so-called Pilgrims. The leader of the Wampanoag Nation, Machito, donated food stores to the struggling colony of Europeans, and in 1621, having survived a hard winter due to the help of the Wampanoag, the Europeans celebrated, as was their custom, to having Thanksgiving or giving thanks to their God. No Wampanoagan or members of any of the indigenous nations were invited. And yet they came and supplied most of the food. In return for helping them to survive, the so-called Pilgrims decimated the Wampanoagan members and other indigenous nations And yet they came and supplied most of the food. In return for helping them survive, the so-called Pilgrims decimated Wampanoagan through disease, treachery, and slaughter in the years which followed. By 1637, as the Europeans were feeling successful, more powerful, and in control of their newly conquered land, an expedition was sent to Connecticut near Gorton. Over 700 indigenous people, the Pequots, of which Squanto was a member, were celebrating their yearly harvest, the annual Green Corn Festival, when they were taken by surprise by these Caucasian invaders. Their men were shot and clubbed to death while their women and children were burned alive. Winthrop, the first governor of Massachusetts Bay Colony, proclaimed a day of thanksgiving, saying that they should thank God for destroying the savages to make way for a better growth. And that's a quote in the work of Cotton Mather's. What followed constitutes one of the most vicious recordings and continuing massacres of indigenous people of this land, now known as America. It became the custom of the Caucasians to follow each massacre with a thanksgiving. Rewards would be given to those who returned with the scalps and skulls of indigenous people to encourage their slaughter. And in 1863, it was decided to celebrate only one day of thanksgiving, proclaimed by Abraham Lincoln. At later period, the fourth Thursday of November was chosen by capitalists to maximize shopping days until Christmas. That was done through FDR, Franklin Delano Roosevelt. And then in 1970, at the 350th anniversary of the landing, a leader of indigenous people prepared a speech in which he was told the true history of Pilgrims and berated the Caucasian people for robbing the graves. That's what they did. They robbed, in their survival, they robbed the graves of the Wampanoag people. And when it got so deep, if one of them died, Yeah, that's right. But that's not the first time, brothers and sisters, that, you know, that they, that's not the first time that they have engaged in cannibalism. And they always like to put cannibalism on us. You notice that? And all of the cartoons of the past and all of the things, they try to say that we were cannibals. No, we were never cannibals. Man. The officials of the Massachusetts didn't allow them to make the speech. They said, you can't make that speech. Every year since then, the indigenous people of this land have looked upon the fourth Thursday of November as a day of mourning. You should check out Russell Means, Susan Bates, Jacqueline Keeler, and many more. We, African people in America, are victims of the same process that resulted in the murder of millions of indigenous people and decimations of their nations. America was built by stolen labor on stolen land. America was built by stolen labor on stolen land. This is the legacy of Europeans in this country. Taking without thanks and taking without giving is exploitation. Change is not easy. We are used to celebrating with our families on this day. It is always good to come together and to share a meal with each other. But we do have alternatives, and we always need to be in the process of growth. Growth makes change necessary. We have changed a little at a time, and remembering that our goal is African sovereignty. That is our goal. That is the ultimate. People say, well, what is the end game? The end game is African sovereignty, period. Through the process of Pan-Africanism, that's what the end game is, African sovereignty. When you are with your family on tomorrow, November 28th, take a moment to remember and talk about the true meaning of this holiday. Like I said, I've done that, and I know people don't want to hear that. Many people don't want to hear about what took place and how it happened and how it evolved. They just say, this is what it is now. You know, bump all that stuff from back in the day. That was old. But that is the root. That's how it happened. And one thing you truly should ever, something truly you should never do, and that is celebrate your destruction. For us to continue to celebrate it helps us understand, it should help us understand what happened to us, what happened to our minds that we no longer want to be who we are. We celebrate our destruction. What happened to our minds, you know? And we need to deal with that. That's something, man, that I'm sending a we don't have to contribute to the profit-making mania organized by large conglomerates encouraging us to spend money that we don't have during the weekend following that day. Don't shop. Friday we'll talk about Black Friday and its origins and its history, and I'll give you some perspectives of what we call Black Friday. And if anything on this Friday, if anything, dear brothers and sisters, make it a Black Friday by supporting American African businesses. Whatever you do tomorrow, just like you should do that during Kwanzaa on the day of Ujamaa, cooperative economics, try your best. I know there's not a lot of service stations and convenience stores in our community. Hell, we only have one left in Milwaukee, and that's Sister Diane. And the only one I know of here is what was that at? It was on Facebook of where that sister and her husband opened up a gas station convenience store. None around me, where I live. None around the places where I go. you know, the big ones, like, you know, a big one that, you know, 20 pumps or something like that, you know, that's part of a chain, you know, and they're not us. So make the sacrifice of fasting on that day. Yes, it will be a challenge, but you can still enjoy your family. And at the same time, identify with those who were exploited, those who were murdered and raped of their resources, as we have been. This is not a cause for celebration. Yes, I know, sisters and brothers, you say, damn that, man. We just celebrating us. And I told you this on Monday, and I'll say this again today. Come together in peace. Come together in love. Keep the drinking and drug use to a minimum. Don't get involved. I know every celebration in this country, in many of our cities, in Chicago in particular, is mass murder. One time it was 80-something people shot and about 20 killed. 80 in that weekend, you know, then, and they count that because you're off on Monday. So it's Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. 4 days. Here it is. Some will count today, but it's Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. How many people will be shot and killed? I swear, in our community, I hope it's none. Let us choose a day on which the Pan-African world nation gives thanks together for the gift of African ancestry and the sacrifice they have been made for us by our ancestors. We can start small with the Africans that we know and to continue to grow. You know, somebody mentioned, and I had a discussion, there was a Caucasian congressperson in Milwaukee, Milwaukee area, Glenn Grothman. He's a real idiot. He really is. And so he was on Jesse Lee Peterson's program. And if you heard about Jesse Lee Peterson, that is a real idiot. That man is so whitewashed. It is pathetic. He speaks openly about the denigration and the demeaning ways of Africa and African people. Man. In fact, me and Brother Claiborne Brinson of the Wisconsin Black Historical Society, a man who I admire and respect deeply, he gave me a call and said, man, would you go on with me and talk about Kwanzaa, you know, on Jesse Lee Peterson's show, because Glenn Grothman is going to be on there. And, of course, they talk about Malana Karinga forming Kwanzaa and, of course, him being a felon because of what he did, and of course an informant and some other things. I ain't got no love for Malana Karinga and for what he's done, you know. In fact, I've got some disdain for him and as well as Malefi Ketiasanti. And that's just me, okay, because it's not right. It's not right when he unveiled that stamp with the colors indifferent, and I'm quite sure he got paid by the U.S. Postal Service, but that be it as it is. So we're talking about, and he's saying this is a made-up. Hell, every damn holiday is made up by human beings. Everything is done by, you can call it inspired, but they're made up. And some evolved. They evolved to be better and better. So, you know, everything. So it is a process. Let us begin now in African victory and sovereignty. Mama Marimba, Bibi Fahodie. Bibi Fahodie means our victorious destiny. And it is our victorious destiny. Love Mama Marimba. Dear friend, you know, and I say this all the time about her and my admiration for her. I had read Let Your Circle Be Unbroken, a few other things that she had done. So I was well aware of her. But when Urugu came out, and I read it, particularly the section on religion, I must have read that a few times, you know. Urugu, an African-centered critique of European cultural thought and behavior. To me, it's the Bible. It clearly helped me understand, along with many other books of brothers and sisters who don't go along to get along. They don't scratch when ain't nothing itching. They don't go, they don't laugh when ain't nothing funny. These are brothers and sisters who are warriors, warrior scholars. That's why I love them. I respect them. I admire them. And some of them labored hard because they took that position. They didn't pull no skip gates. Many people, because of all these distortions, believe that Skip Gates, now he did get an undergrad degree in history, but they look at Skip Gates as the authority on the history of our people. I remember reading debate between him and Baba Jetty, Jacob Carruthers, Dr. Jacob Carruthers. He smoked that dude. They all do. Just like Dr. John Henry Clark smoked Mary Lefkowitz. Mary Lefkowitz wrote a book, Not Out of Africa, talking, basically saying that the Greeks developed independently through shared knowledge and so forth. Not that they sat at the feet of African people. Not that Socrates, Plato, and Aristotle sat at the feet of Africa. Not that they stole and plagiarized from Africa. No, there's no African influence. If anything, we were the influence on them. In fact, it really, Egypt is white. Yeah, Dr. Clark smoked her. Because see, we're standing, dear brothers and sisters, on a foundation that is true. That's why for those who are going to go with Dr. Ranuka Rashidi in January to Senegal, Gambia, and Guinea-Bissau on a trip that is only going to cost you $3,800 is a blessing. You know? Here in Atlanta, Brother Derek Bozeman, radio personality, he does trips. I went with him to Cuba. Yeah, okay. It was good camaraderie. Basically, what it was a cruise, because we stopped in Havana, got off the boat, went here, went there, took some pictures, da da da. Went to the store to buy some cigars and rum, got on the boat, gone. I guess because when I took the caravan to Cuba many years ago and stayed for about a week and talked with the people and so forth, stayed at the Martin Luther King Center. You know, that was an experience. But he's going to South Africa. I'm not sure what the cost is. I think it's around close to $4,000. He's going to South Africa. He's going to Cape Town and Johannesburg. You know, I do like to go, but I don't know if I would go with that trip. I'm not sure. I'll see. But I would like to go. There's a lot of places I wish I had the money to go. I got the time. I'm retired, but it's always about the money, you know. So yeah. This is a tough one, dear brothers and sisters. It's a tough day. But what we must do is study, learn, give honor to our ancestors. Look at our warrior scholars. Look at what, like I said, that book Urugu, to me, is the Bible, because it helped me understand, along with other information. I listened to some Dr. John Henry Clark on cassette tapes, and of course cassette tapes are harder to go back and forth, you know, trying to get those particular presentations, you know, while I'm riding in my car, but they were so beneficial to me. And then when I, you know, would travel, I wouldn't listen to music. I listened to those. In fact, one of the brothers, my good friend, Brother Jeff Quazier, me, Jeff Quazier, Willie Williams, and Dwayne Smoots, us four firefighters, we were the usual suspects, as my daughter used to say when I would go out of town on a weekend to black firefighters conferences and conventions and so forth. So I'm riding with Jeff. We're going to Cleveland. And I'm playing FireCon. I'm playing a whole bunch of folks, you know. But I guess for me, I'm listening and I'm trying to, you know, and digest and put into my mind, into my heart, some of the things that they're saying that I I ain't hanging on every damn word of nobody. I'm listening. And if it sounds good to me in my heart and in my mind, a lot of stuff I can remember. Some stuff, not so much. Because I want to. It's shaped me to be the man that I am. You know, because my history and coming into consciousness is like everybody else's. You learn at the beginning. I mean, when I was in high school in the 60s, we marched out of school. We walked out of school to support the concept of more American African education in the Milwaukee public school system. It was a coordinated effort to all the other schools. Because prior to that, in elementary school, today, if I was in elementary school today, I'd be wearing one of them damn hats with a buckle, you know, and somebody would be wearing an Indian thing, and somebody would be wearing, looking like a damn turkey, and saying the same thing about, you know, the Europeans came here, the indigenous people met them and welcomed them, and that's the truth. Because just like they came to Africa, because, see, what Diop explained in his two cradle theory, there's xenophobia and xenophilia. See, we welcome people, but the Europeans have a phobia against other human beings other than them. But we welcome them. You could not go up into Europe in those cases. They would attack you. It's just like the movie. I haven't seen it, but I'm going to go see it. Harriet. If the so-called bounty hunter is by himself and not with some Caucasian like it was in the movie Django, that's hard to believe. Because if you're running around the countryside or anywhere with a weapon, they're going to kill you. They're going to shoot first, ask questions later. So I'm getting ready to take a break. And when I come back from the break, I'm going to play that piece with my good brother, Greg Kamathi Carr, who I'm going to have on the program within the next couple of weeks. Also to Dr. Kelsey, who is a treasure, who's 94 years old, sharp. And you'll enjoy that conversation. You'll talk about his history. You'll talk about the Pittsburgh neighborhood. And, of course, that'll be before the pre-Kwanzaa celebration, which is December 4th. So I'm going to be honored to have Brother Greg and Dr. Kelsey on the program. Brothers and sisters, you're listening to African Perspectives. Here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com, and blacktalkradionetwork.com. So you stay right here with us. We'll be right back and further discussion. But please, you can join this conversation. Give us a call at 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. We'll be right back, brothers and sisters. Stay with us.
Hey, on a solo. We'll be right back.
money.
Thank you.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. Once again, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com, and blacktalkradionetwork.com. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. After this program on Monday and Wednesdays is The Black People Matrix with Brother Franklin Jones from 1 to 3. And then Monday evening from 6 to 8, Acres of Diamonds with Brother Wahad. And then after that, Let's Buy Black 365. And then after that, Conversations, Reparations with Brother Jamoke and Sister Lacey from 9 to 10. On Tuesdays, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers from 8 to 10. Also from 8 to 10 is on Wednesday, Revive with Sister POC. On Thursdays, Relationships with Joy and Troy at 7 p.m. And then on Friday, if it's Friday and it's 8 p.m. Eastern, that's right, it's time for an awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And then on Sunday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., once again, it is Revive with Sister POC, Proof of Consciousness. And then Sunday evening at 7 p.m., time for an awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And of course, from Monday through Friday at 10 p.m. Eastern from 10 to 12, the Warren Ballantyne program, the Warren Ballantyne Show, right here on Time for an Awakening Media. And the number to call is 215-490-9832, 215-490-9832. Yes, we're going to talk about let me cue this up here. So I want you to hear good brother Nick Cannon, because I like Nick Cannon. How did that one poem he had I played some time ago, that was really outstanding, that poem. So this is at Howard University, and he's talking with my good brother and friend, Dr. Greg Kamathi Carr, the new Jack Scholars, on this day.
Another session of Cannon's class, a very special Cannon's class with, you know, Dr. Carr, who's been, people in the comments, they loving everything that you have to say. They want to make sure they can always get in contact with you, obviously.
I'm honored to be here with you.
Oh, it's an honor.
Anytime.
And you know, we want to just give this one just some quick attention based off of this holiday that we are, is among us, mm-hmm. called Thanksgiving.
Yes.
Now, Thanksgiving, as we know, is a holiday in, once you're in school, that we teach to our kids that, you know, the pilgrims and the Indians come together and
right.
they share a feast.
Friendship.
And friendship. And it's all about family and sharing.
Yes.
When ultimately, from my studies, and I'm pretty sure you can kind of expound on this even more, is that really that feast was ultimately a celebration for a massacre of over 700 Native Americans. And then once Abraham Lincoln, actually years later, then sanctioned it a holiday.
That's
and
right.
kind of tried to clean it up a little bit, but the actual, you know, feast that the pilgrims were having during that time wasn't a celebration of friendliness or giving at all. It was really like, hey, they finally got some food
right.
because they had been starving.
That's right.
And they killed the godless Indians, which they called it. So I would love to just, you know, kind of pick your brain on that and just say, why is it that we celebrate Thanksgiving and why haven't we heard the truth about Thanksgiving?
Well, I think you just laid it out. If you tell the truth, then you got to talk about an act of genocide, right?
Right.
Yeah, that first Plymouth colony in the early 17th century, you know, we know that they landed here in 1620.
Right.
Or as Malcolm said, Plymouth Rock, you know, landed on us.
Yeah, right? We didn't land on Plymouth Rock.
That's right. Plymouth Rock landed on us, brother.
Yeah.
And our Native American, the Wampanoag people in that region,
right.
Massachusetts, and they only came here, these white folks, with about 100 so-called colonists. 102.
Wow.
By the time they got through that first winter, they were celebrating the fact that they had survived, but only about half of them survived.
Wow.
Yeah, and we only were a little over 50.
Wow.
So they had a little harvest, but before they had that harvest, they were dying from disease and starvation.
Right.
There are only two accounts that survived that give any testimony as to who was there at that first Thanksgiving, and both of them written from the white side.
Right.
We know now, looking at some of the records of trials, for example, that some of those folks weren't just eating vegetables and meat.
Right.
Well, they were eating meat, but some of them eating
human meat.
Human meat, brother. Because when you're starving and somebody died, you're looking at them like, well, you're not using your body anymore, so maybe I just need to eat you.
So at the first Thanksgiving, they wasn't no turkey.
Well, they were giving thanks that they didn't have to eat each other anymore.
Right.
Although in their defense, in a little bit, some of them were tried for that because cannibalism was still something that they didn't want to do.
Wow.
But at some point, you have to survive.
Right.
You know, but the Native Americans, on the other hand, who apparently attended the first Thanksgiving, the Native Americans who may have been as much as 90 folks who were there.
Right.
And there's no clear account as to why they were there.
Right.
They had plenty of food.
Right.
Cranberries, fish. They had done
from
all
the
that.
Land. From the land. It was their land.
It was their land. In fact, they did help some of those Europeans survive.
Right.
Now, looking back 500 some years later, that may have been a bad decision.
Right.
But they did help them, and they were celebrating. Friendship. Now, there were some Africans. There were some Native Americans.
Right.
There was one dude named Squanto, for example.
Right.
Who ended up being enslaved.
Wow.
That's how he learned English.
Wow.
So he became a translator.
Wow.
Because he had been pressed into service by these Europeans, who, as you said, looked at these Native Americans as they were godless.
Right.
So they gave thanks to their god for having taken land from people who didn't even see land that way.
Right.
Because they were like,
what? They didn't even see it as theirs. This is like, land is land.
Exactly.
They truly believe this land is our land, this land is your land.
Your land, nature.
Right.
In fact, they didn't even farm the
right.
way we think about farming.
Right.
When you look at the European style, they clear off the land, then they make rows of things.
Right.
The Native Americans are like, what are they doing?
Right.
You grow food in conversation with other food.
Wow.
So the squash, the pumpkins, the greens.
It all grew together.
It all grew together, and that way you get to replenish the land. Because what's taken from one gives to the other, and you don't have to keep clearing out land to plant new crops. You
That's
don't plant
powerful.
Single crops.
Right.
So even the technology of Thanksgiving gives us this notion that somehow the Europeans were superior.
Right.
Their God was better. Their science was better. But no, they had starved. They had disease, and about half of them had died.
Right.
And they celebrated making it through their first winter, and the Native Americans showed up to be like, well, I guess y'all made it. Meanwhile, they plotting on the Native Americans.
Man, and that's, again, like, even going back to what we discussed about Columbus Day and,
yeah.
you know, that it should be shifted to Indigenous Peoples Day. But even, again, this shows the kind hand and the generosity of the natives to – It, even though it was a massacre that, you know,
yeah.
that was all not that was being set up. And therefore, they were all thinking of the Europeans were thinking to rob them the entire time.
That's right.
But these kind people were still willing to give their land, give their food and share with them. And we almost when we celebrate Thanksgiving, we almost again, we see it from the European perspective.
That's right.
As I'm giving you something and you're giving me something when ultimately the natives were saving the Europeans.
That's right.
And even that idea, like, that should be something that we should embrace and celebrate. And even as, you know, if we all going to sit down and have our smoked turkey and chitlins
right.
and ham and all of that
no
stuff.
Question.
And we've turned it more into a cultural day about family.
Yes.
Which I can embrace. I mean, anytime we can get down and build with our generations and our family is important. But I think, again, that truth needs to come to the forefront of why these holidays were created and even the purpose. And like I said, even so much so that I felt like Lincoln used it as propaganda.
Oh, you know he did.
To, again, bring people closer together, but
sure.
at the idea to say, look at what the elite have set up.
That's exactly right.
Right.
Well, 1863, when we see it become part of the formal American calendar, you know, the Civil War is still going on.
Right.
Part of it is trying to create a national identity.
Right.
How do you build? And that's what holidays
that everyone can embrace.
That's exactly
that
right.
patriotism.
That's exactly right. Holidays right. are about building a national identity, a patriotism, a love of country,
a myth that everyone can follow.
Straight myth, brother. This is a guy who signs an Emancipation Proclamation, and in the same breath, then signs the death warrant on 38 Lakota Sioux in Minnesota, the biggest killing of people. Approved by a president, a guy named Little Crow, who was leading a revolt against the United States Army up in Minnesota, Fort Snelling. Same place they had Dred Scott and Harriet Scott enslaved.
Yeah, and Lincoln signed that.
Lincoln signed a death warrant the same time he signed the Emancipation Proclamation.
Wow.
I mean, this is about taking that land from them Native Americans. So we look, and Abraham Lincoln signed Thanksgiving into law. Yeah, he was giving thanks for taking land from Native Americans that he was responsible for dispossessing them of the land.
Wow.
And then, of course, it takes, when do we see it become on our calendar in November?
Right.
1941.
Oh, wow.
What's going on in 1941? World War II.
Yeah.
You need that national identity, that patriotism. Here's the thing that a lot of people don't know about Thanksgiving. Now, you know, you in and out of New York all the time. I was loving the man, that woman, man on the street.
Oh, talking
about, you gotta be able to vote like you get a lottery ticket.
Right,
that was genius, brother.
Thank you.
Genius. But, you know, New York City, immigrants are coming. These white immigrants. They don't know they're white till they get to the United States.
Right.
Like we were talking about. They're trying to avoid last place. So I'm from Hungary, or I'm from Germany, or I'm coming. So they come. They're getting jobs wherever they can.
Right.
A lot of these immigrants worked in the garment district in New York.
Right.
A lot of
Schmata
them,
business.
Exactly. A lot of them end up working for R.H. Macy. R.H. Macy is, you know, of course,
Macy's.
The department store guy, right? Now, they don't celebrate Thanksgiving. They don't know nothing about that.
Right.
So when it comes time for that time, where are they going to go? So they get in this national spirit. What do? They start wearing their national dress.
Right.
They bring their national dishes. They bring them to the store. They bring them around, and they exchange with each other because they're going to
wow.
get in the mirror. Macy's people are watching this, and they say, this is very interesting. So then
we could capitalize
brother,
off of this.
This. And so what do? They start doing a little march around the block to show off their clothes.
Right.
And then people start watching. Macy's like, this is interesting. Years later, we now have the
Macy's Day Parade.
And in that Macy's Parade, and I'm sure you've been. I don't know if you're taking your kids yet.
Yeah,
I go
I've hosted it before.
Oh, that's right. Look, here's the thing. This is why I go to the Macy's Parade.
Yeah.
I try to go if I'm on the East Coast
because
I like to be there and I like to watch it on TV while I'm watching it in real life.
Right.
What you see is all these people that bake these cookies and all these sales to get their band to the Macy's Parade.
Right.
They don't get on TV, not all of them.
Nah.
They walk by. But I guess what gets on TV? Every float. Why? Because I'm watching the children point to the floats and say, that's so-and-so, that's so-and-so. Every one of them floats is something to buy.
Yeah.
I'm watching the parents looking too. And they know some of the people, but then some of them they don't.
Right.
Who's the last act in the Macy's Parade? Santa Claus.
Always.
And what is Santa Claus? He's waving bye. No, not B-Y-E.
B-E-Y. Bye.
Bye. Because what you just saw
was a
commercial. And it started with R.H. Macy looking at these immigrants who had knew nothing about Thanksgiving,
wow.
who came to try to be part of the American ritual, and he's sitting there thinking, how can I make a profit off of this little celebration? It's really fascinating.
Fascinating.
Yeah. 1941, they make it official.
Wow.
Yeah.
And there we have it. We celebrate. So keep all that in mind when you eating your fried turkey and your chitlins and your canned cranberries.
Yeah. And then going back and giving all your money back to the store on Black Thursday Monday and all that.
The next day you're going to be shopping. They're in your pocket.
That night, midnight.
Yeah, it's going down. Well, Doc, I appreciate this again, dropping that wisdom about Thanksgiving. I know this is going to touch a lot.
Brother, Cannon's class is no joke, brother. I'm loving watching you do this thing.
Oh, I'm loving you being a part of it. I thank you for being a mentor. I thank you for being someone who guides me through this process and continues to educate all of us.
Learning with you, brother. We side by side on this.
There it is.
Appreciate you. Yes, sir.
That was my good brother, Greg Kamathi Carr, with Nick Cannon. And as you heard, them dropping the history and how things evolved. And once again, I'll say this, and I'll say it to closing of the program, that on tomorrow, I'm praying that as you celebrate, you do it peacefully. As you celebrate, you do it joyfully with your family and friends that come by and to break bread with you and spend some time, have a drink, and so forth. I would love the fact that if we did that tomorrow and in these major cities particularly, but everywhere, that it was done with respect and love for family, you know. But also, I would love for us to know the history and create a celebration of family on our own. Well, because I guess you know me. I reject what the Caucasian brings, you know. I said this the other day, how I learned about this alternative. No, as I learned about the real Thanksgiving, I was at the firehouse, sitting at the table, reading the newspaper. The newspaper today is called the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Back at the time, there were two papers produced by the same people. There was a morning edition, which was called the Sentinel, and an evening edition called the Journal. And I'm reading, there was a section in the evening paper. It was green. They call it the green sheet. Comics, horoscopes, all kind of good stuff, and some human interest stuff. And that article that I read, I can remember like it was yesterday. As I was reading it, I didn't have for me to do a research, you would have to go to the library. You could call Ready Reference, if you remember that, of your local library. You could call Ready Reference and, you know, ask a question or two. But to do the serious research, you have to go to the library. Well, of course, today all you got to do is Google it. You know? Go to YouTube. What you just heard was from YouTube. You know, and you can get a hold of that history. And of course, like anything, you have to sift through it, because when I first, in preparation for the program, I put in the real Thanksgiving. That's what this said. But actually, it was the 700 Club version. And of course, the 700 Club version is going to be the Europeans' official version of "We came here, they welcomed us, we worked together, we celebrated Thanksgiving. They came with their foods and ours, and we sat down and broke bread, supposedly for 3 days or whatever, you know. But no, the real deal is when the European found ways to expand and to take more land by eliminating indigenous people, like when they killed those 700 Pequots, they celebrated, giving thanks to their God. It wasn't until, you know, Lincoln said that's, you know, we only have one celebration. That's going to be in November, which is a harvest month, in because the Pequot was celebrating the Green Corn Festival. That's 700. And when they were doing that at times to even get more money, they would come with skulls. They would come with scalps. I thought that, because the European controls the narrative. They control what you see. They control what you hear. And basically, unfortunately, they control what you think. I thought scalping was a, you know, Indian thing. Well, it became that when the European was able to have the nations. I don't call tribes. I don't use the word tribes. And you know me. I tried my best to use the proper verbiage, a verbiage that would, when you hear that word, it puts into your mind something different than what they want you to think and believe, okay? And so they said, you go out and get these scalps and we'll pay you so much for each scalp that you get, you know? And so they were paying even Europeans, and they later did that to the indigenous people who warred against other nations. In fact, that's where the treaty was signed with the Mapanago, because some other cultural, other nations were trying to infringe, and so they had to deal with that. So they were like getting squeezed in Massachusetts, you know, the Mapanago. And so when I first read that story in the green sheet, it had a profound effect on me. Oh, you know, this was in the 70s. And then, of course, since that time, the real truth, the real history, and it's still done differently. Like I said, I seen that piece on YouTube with the 700 Club. And of course, the 700 Club espouses, you know, European, Caucasian extremism, racism, and privilege. And basically saying what we did was a benefit to mankind. What we did was good for all the rest of the country. You know, the means justify the end. The means of us doing what we did, how evil and how dogmatic it was, it justified where we are today. And as we celebrate, falsely, of course, but we celebrate an idea that God blessed this country. God blessed our undertakings. Yeah. Thank God. Yeah. And so, you know, it, because of the years and the decades and the centuries and actually a millennial. A millennial is 1,000 years of Europeans imposing, you know, coming back, you know, having to retreat and then come back stronger, you know, because, I mean, that's what happened. The Europeans coming out of that cave, getting civilized, coming down into Kemet, the Greeks, taking, supplanting us. After so many hundreds of years, their decline, and then emerged the Romans. They used Kemet as a breadbasket for that whole region. Then they declined, it fell. A dark age ensued. So we taught them. They sat at our feet. This is the debate that Mary Lefkowitz got smoked by Dr. John Henry Clark and then eventually others. The proof is there. They studied at the feet of African people. George G.M. James' book, Stolen Legacy, is the proof. They studied at the feet of African people to learn the basic disciplines of knowledge, of science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion. That's right. You name it. We did it. And so, being the pledgerers that
this
they are,
is being recorded.
They put their name on it. You know, they claimed it. And so, Dr. John G. Jackson said, we taught them twice. You know, we taught them in ancient Kemet. They sat at our feet for hundreds of years. And then, of course, they later claimed it as their own. They said, we did this. In fact, if you know what happened with Alexander of Macedonia, later to be called Alexander the so-called Great, he didn't want to go back to Greece to be buried. He was buried in Kemet. His generals, the Ptolemies, continued on as if they, because they had taken it to the victor goes with spoils, and he carried that on as if now we are the progenitors of this knowledge, of this land, and all that you see. And so it fell, it declined when the Romans, after the Romans. And so we taught them then. And then in the fall, in their fall, they had a medieval time, a dark age, as they called it. The Black Death, all of that, ignorance. The people who, and they used the religion to get money from you. They go to you and they say, yo, you know, your mom and dad, they ain't in heaven. Oh, no, they're in what we call purgatory. They're just in limbo right up in there, in purgatory. But if you want to go to heaven, you're going to have to come up with some more money and some more crops and whatever you can do to give to the overlord and to the church. Penance, purgatory, so they could go to heaven. So all of this dark age stuff, and then, of course, it ended. The Moors had, in those 700 years, had provided knowledge and information. How to take baths, irrigation of water, getting them damn animals out your house and putting them in a corral. A number of things, lights, street lights, number of things. But then, of course, after a period of time, like we should be doing now, the Europeans said, nobody should be running this damn country but us. We should be running this. We have warred amongst ourselves, but what we're going to do right now is we're going to come together on those who are outside of us. We're going to come together. That's what we should do. That's what Dr. Kwame Nkrumah was talking about. Patrice Lumumba, Idi Amin Dada, Dr. Sheikh Anta Diop, a federated states of African people. So we run ours. I have no problem with Europeans say we're going to run theirs. And they kicked the Moors out and the Sephardic Jews out in 1492, the same time Columbus was trying to find a way to India for spices, not to spice up the food, but to put some nice smelling spices in their clothes so they you know, wouldn't smell so damn bad. That's like flowers at the... when they were marrying. The flowers weren't there because they just wanted to decorate. No. And so they kicked them out. And the Europeans said, let's come together on those who are outside of us. And then they went out looking at this and that, explorers, exploration. Marco Polo goes to China. He comes back with pasta. That's why people think pasta is, because Marco Polo was Italian. People think that pasta is Chinese. Excuse me, pasta is Italian. No, pasta is Chinese. People think that rice is Chinese, but no, rice is African. But what Marco Polo came back with that was deeper was fireworks. Ability to make gunpowder. That one's one of the main facilitators for the Europeans' rise. Because all those 700 years, they had crusades. Only one crusade was successful, from my understanding. Only lasted a little bit of time. Otherwise, the Muslims dusted them every time they came in. And so then, they fashioned superior weaponry. Map making from the Moors. Shipbuilding from Africans. There's nothing the European, the only thing that the European has done successfully is found a better way to kill your ass. That's what they've done successfully. Weaponry. To this day, like I'm saying, to this day, it's fruitless for us to talk about an armed struggle because we don't have no arms. They have put themselves into a position economically and militarily to run the world. And I'm not saying, you know, we should not challenge it. Of course, because we have to challenge it for our humanity, for our very lives. But we are not going to war with Europeans. No, what we are doing is reclaiming, recapturing, restoring our land, our knowledge, our history, our resources. You cannot. I mean, what is this program? What do I say this program is about? Independence, self-determination, liberation, and sovereignty for African people. You cannot do it here. You cannot. I wouldn't lift a damn finger to fight crackers to stay here. Excuse me. To fight white folks to stay here, Europeans to stay here. I wouldn't throw a blow. To hell with them and to hell with that. I'm saying let's go. Let's get out. And for those who want to stay, you stay. And so what does America do? America tells Zimbabwe, if you let the Caucasians who had taken this land continue to have it, we'll lift the sanctions. And they said, no, thank God. Even though that leadership is really weak, the leadership on the continent is pathetic. There are a few, very. And that's what needs to happen. A serious cadre of leadership must come on the continent. A serious cadre of Africans from the continent and Africans from the diaspora, men and women. I don't know, I've seen a number of pieces where the sister who was the UN ambassador, that sister's beautiful. She is on point. She was an ambassador from the OAU. She was kicked out because she's saying all the right things. You kicked out because you're saying the right things. You ain't capitulating. You ain't bending, bowing, and scraping to Europeans. I'm going to tell you, I don't hate anybody. As I always say, I hate no one. But damn it, I hate this system. I hate what Europeans were able to do to dominate the planet and to impose their sick mindset on the planet to the such a degree that it made us hate ourselves and made everybody else on the damn planet hate us. That's why sometimes when I'm feeling this way, I go off like that. And to me, if you don't, you need to check yourself. If you're not angry and mad at what has happened when you look at our situation. But see, you're trained to think as an individual. You're trained to think, well, if it's not happened to me, so be it. It ain't happened to me, it's them. I don't say it ain't us, it's them. So no, I don't. I hate no one. But what, damn it, I do hate is that the Europeans created a system. They created a system that he imposed upon the world, giving themselves the top position with us at a lower position. No, with everybody else at a lower position, with us at the lowest position, because everywhere, damn it, around the world, we have no friends. You want a friend? Look in a mirror. And don't leave that mirror till you like what you see. Not that you like the shape of your nose or your newly formed arch eyebrows. No, you like who you see historically. You like who you see culturally. You like brothers and sisters like yourselves, your family. You feel good about your dark skin or your high yellow skin or whatever your eyes look like. It is you. Because from us, everybody else came. I know Brother Franklin Jones is talking about Neanderthal and stuff like that. I give him love, you know. Because see, to me, it don't make no damn bit of difference. Because what has happened, but let us say what is today. Because it to me, I would say that because to me, my understanding is that human life began in Central East Africa, migrates from that point. And what makes human beings different is the ability to adapt to environments. Either you adapt or you die. So I don't care if they say that there was some break in human existence and the Neanderthal. To me, the Neanderthal had to develop out of survival. Survival. Look at the environment. Look how harsh the environment. In Michael Bradley's books, The Iceman's Inheritance, he speaks to the fact that that environment created Europeans to be the way that they are. Selfish, greedy, racist, sexist. It's to be the way that they are. They never had any true respect for women. And, of course, they're the progenitors and beginners of homosexuality, and some of them in transgender. Some of them are men who are taking their penises out and putting a vagina in. Well, maybe very soon as they continue to work, we'll be able to have babies. There's a piece going around on a Messenger and YouTube and so forth about the kidnappings of our women, believing they're taking the uterus and the fallopian tubes and so forth out of them to put into men. I remember my brother did a presentation like that. Oh, shoot. Long time ago. I'm talking about 30, 40 years ago. Because to the European, a dog is a man's best friend. But to the African, your mate, your complement, was your best friend. One of the things the Greeks did not understand nor appreciate how Africans treated their women, how women had rights. There is no medunature or no statues of men with other men. But there are all kinds of pictures and statues of men with men and men with boys. That's why we shouldn't use the word mentor. Because in the Odyssey, in Homer's Odyssey, Odysseus or whoever gave his son over to mentor while he went out on the Odyssey. And mentor sexually abused his son. So we should not use the word mentor because of who it is and what it did. See, a lot of times we say stuff, man, we don't do no damn research. Society says it, then we just follow suit. I don't give a damn if they use that word, but I care if we do. I got into a discussion last night about the term hotep with my good friend. And I hope towards the end, I got a little heated and I called back and apologized. But I'm saying, you know, when somebody derogatorily used the word hotep, to say hotepper, when he's hoteppers, if somebody is wrong, they wrong. But don't use a sacred word. Hotep means peace in ancient comedic language. Call them out for something else, because they believe in ancient comedic history and knowledge and theology and so forth. And yet they're still not right as a person. Speak about who and what, or who and she they are. Man, oh man, oh man. Because once again, I was trying to explain to her, when you say that word like that, many times that negative connotation has a hold. Don't, you know, that negative connotation has a hold. When I say Hotep to a person, I truly mean it. I truly mean peace. And if somebody's wrong, I'm not going to call whoever that person is wrong, because they do believe in ancient comedic knowledge and history and language and culture and so forth, whatever. You a Hotepper. No. You a hypocrite. That's what you are. You a damn hypocrite. Keep it right. Only got a few more minutes, so please welcome calls at 215-490-9832. We had a couple calls on, but I was going through my rant, and they left me. Well, that's how it goes sometimes. You know. That's why sometimes I get on this here microphone and just go off. I'm going to tell you, you know, I'm comfortable in my situation. I would love to be better, more money and so forth. But I retired from the fire department. I have a pension. If the city of Milwaukee doesn't go broke or something financially catastrophic could happen and so forth, I'll be fine. Got a little money stashed away, so I'm fine. But it ain't about me. It's about us. I feel for us. I feel for the children I see. I feel when I look at videos from Africa and know that Africa, everybody wants all these resources. And yet you have children with no shoes on, barefoot in rags, mining inside mountains, in water and so forth, finding coltan. What I'm speaking to you on right now, this computer, these two computers in front of my face, this tablet I have to my left, this cell phone I have to my right. If they didn't do that, these would not happen. These flat screens, all of that. Well, I got a caller, 646-646. Good afternoon. 646-646. Good afternoon. Okay, whenever you're ready, let me know. So, you know.
Oshie.
Hey, brother, what's up? Okay. Maybe he's having some technical difficulties. Believe me, maybe it's just today, you know. I swear, man, my brother Kwaku came through for me. We got it together. 646, are you ready now?
Yeah, can you hear me, Oshie?
I can hear you very well, Jay.
All right. Listen, I didn't get a chance to really hear the show, but I just wanted to know, did you go in on Turkey Gobble Gobble Day?
Of course, you know I did. You know I did, because that's what the day is.
Day,
yeah, that's the day of Misgiving.
Absolutely nothing yeah. but murder.
That's yes, sir.
It's nothing to be celebrated.
No,
at
it's
all.
A day of mourning. I agree. No,
and,
no,
and
Jay.
That's what it should be.
Yeah.
But like everything else that goes along within our circumference.
Yes.
Propaganda comes into play that make it to be a day that we should celebrate with the delusion that it's a day that family get together to give thanks. Some yeah. of the Negroes in your family, you don't even want to sit down at the table with, because it ain't nothing to give thanks to the low good Negroes.
That's right.
About. Let's keep it real.
Yeah. Well, you know.
But, you know, I'm glad you did your thing on it.
I appreciate it, Jack. You know I would. You know I would. I mean,
I'm happy somebody. Is because everybody else is going to be on these airways talking about kumbaya
yeah.
and all this other nonsense.
Yeah. Well, you know,
and I just can't get rid of it.
You know, all those commercials that you see now, every commercial, there's inter there's intercultural, I don't say racial, but intercultural constantly in all these commercials. In fact, sometimes it's, you know, a Caucasian man with a sister or a brother with a Caucasian woman, Asian woman, you know. And they, so they give these appearance that everything is, you know, all hunky.
Nah, they need to go back to the days of Archie Bunker.
Yeah, I'm here. See, all
those were the good old days.
Those were the days. That's his song, ain't it?
Hey, listen, you know what's so dishonest about it is that it's not a true depiction of what's going on. It's just like this basketball player. You know, for him to make the statement about calling our women bulldogs,
okay,
when you basically look like a low-leg gorilla, if you want to be nasty about it,
and call him something,
you could say, well, you a low-leg gorilla. If you call my sisters bulldogs,
yeah.
And here it is, you go out there and you get this Yerugal,
yeah,
and you set up shop with this Yerugal, and when the Yerugal gets sick of your black behind, she's going to divorce you
and get half.
Take half of your wealth.
Yeah.
And then how you going to go back into the bosoms of a black woman? I never understood how a black man that has a black mother could ever,
right,
ever lay down next to that dog.
Yeah.
It's a dishonest and a disservice to your mother and to your ancestors based upon the manner in which your people were treated.
Well, yeah,
how could you justify sleeping with someone who would rape the mother, father, sister, and brother?
Well, brother, it's the indoctrination.
I mean,
Jay, it's the indoctrination. Once you have been impacted on a constant 24/7, 365 with images of your inferiority, and then the image of Europeans, and particularly their women on a pedestal, you know, and because it's been denied to you, and then, of course, when you become into a position, you know, of note, of notoriety, being a musician, an actor, an athlete, or whatever, you seek that which is in this society that has been put on a pedestal, is the Caucasian woman, you see. And even though Caucasian men don't really like it, but I'm quite sure there are some families that love it, because why? This man has resources. Because she wouldn't have married that brother that you said looked like or whatever. She wouldn't have married him or even thought about his ass if he wasn't a professional athlete. These women, I have seen... I used to be a Bucks season ticket holder many years ago, back in the time of Kareem.
I hope it was the glory days.
Well, it was a time just after Kareem had left and went to L.A.
Oh, okay.
You know, Marcus Johnson was there, Phil the Cats. I befriended a few of those guys.
Oh, I love Marcus Johnson.
Yep, Sidney Moncrief and Mickey Johnson.
Okay.
You know, but
Terry Cummings.
Yeah,
and all
Terry. Yep, exactly. And so one time I was down there because my seat. It was a very good seat for the price I paid. I had to pay for two seats because I would invite somebody to come to the game with me and so forth. And so I season ticket holder for a few years. In fact, I really am one now because my grandson in Milwaukee, they have a new stadium, but I think the seats are okay. I mean, they're great because when I visited Milwaukee, I saw where they were sitting at. I didn't go to a game, but, I went down in an area where, you know, where all the women could be, you know, what do they call them? Words escaping me. You know, they're trying to find that player, you know, they're trying to get one of those players and so forth. A lot of Caucasian women, scantily dressed, and some sisters too, trying to get a player or two. You know, and the idea is that hopefully we'll have sex and I'll get pregnant. And so I don't necessarily want to marry, but I want your money. Because if I get pregnant, I'll get 17% of what you got.
No. They usually get a little bit more than this. But listen to this right quick. I got a classic one for you. You may know about it or you may not know about it. The white girl that sued Michael Jordan, I think it was for, he was supposed to take care of her life because she was his mistress and everything like that. Do you know she had a baby with the basketball player Dale Davis after that? That fool went out there.
She had a baby with Dale Davis? They used to play for the Indiana Pacers?
Had a baby with his dumb behind after all of that had jumped off with Michael Jordan. One of the biggest fools I ever thought of in my life, man. Well, yep. After she sued Michael Jordan, lost the case and everything, he hooked up with and went out there and got her pregnant, and you know she did a number on them.
Sure. Sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm saying there's, you know, I would venture to say, let me be real. I think I don't have any data on it, but I would venture to say, based upon my understanding, there are more Caucasian women who have been put into that position than sisters. What do you call the man when you be traipsing around? Man, the word is escaping me. It'll come to me in a minute. But anyway, they're looking at these men. The whole idea is to get pregnant. And if you marry one, that would really be the bomb because you would you would get serious money. And if he died, you get all of the money.
And listen, all you got to do, listen to what I'm saying to you. All you have to do is stay married to them for 10 years, and they got you. It's just like if you was married to a woman for 10 years, and you got a pension, she getting half of your pension.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's really, really real. And, you know, I'm like this. If you're a black woman, and you got you a black man, and you're going through your nonsense, and you got to do what you got to do, I'm all for it. But I ain't for nothing in regards to mutt on mutt action. I ain't going along with swirling and none of that old integrationist nonsense. And it seems like you can't watch a TV show without it. That and homosexuality is what it is. I don't know if you watch this show, The Watchmen.
No, I heard about it. I heard about The Watchmen. They just showed
the black man that went out here and killed a whole bunch of white folks for their treachery, he's sleeping with a white man. I tell you, man, it's crazy.
Wait a minute, Jay. In that program, The Watchmen, there is a brother who did a Colin Ferguson. You remember Colin Ferguson, don't you?
Beautifulest brother. Let's say long live Colin Ferguson. Happy Misgiving Day. Let's praise him up.
Exactly.
For the ancestors. Because what a lot of people don't realize about Colin Ferguson is Colin Ferguson over in Jamaica was part of the Bouget.
Yeah.
Colin Ferguson came from a very rich family.
Okay.
Colin Ferguson wasn't disrespected by white folks in the manner that he was disrespected by white folks when he got to America, and he lost his mind, and he did something about it because he never experienced that type of disrespect.
Okay.
So when he came to America and he got that type of disrespect, that's mm-hmm. what he did. Long live Colin Ferguson.
As my brother
Khalid said, Colin Ferguson.
Well, let me say this. I often said to Caucasians, you should be happy there ain't more Colin Fergusons. Because to me, Colin Ferguson was in his right mind, all he's declared, because he even tried to defend himself, to be touched or whatever. But Colin Ferguson had the right idea.
He's one of my heroes.
Yeah. Yep. Mine too, man.
I don't care with nobody.
Yeah.
So you got to teach your children and your grandchildren about Colin Ferguson and what Colin Ferguson represent and the reason why Colin Ferguson behaved in the manner that he did and that he's a true American.
I bet you any money, Jay, that you will not find Colin Ferguson in history books for Caucasians for sure. That ain't even a discussion. But you won't find Colin Ferguson in a history book that is ours. Because just like when I was coming up, and I know maybe I may be a little older than you, maybe a little, I don't know. But the deal is, back when we were in school, the only people that we were really taught about was Booker T. Washington and George Washington Carver. They didn't want to deal with and talk about anybody who was resisting, anybody who fought back, anybody who met the challenge and who made an attack. They didn't want to talk. Hell, they didn't even.
But they're not supposed to.
No,
I mean,
you're right, Jay.
They're not supposed to get mad. They're just not supposed to.
No, you're right. Yeah, no, I wouldn't talk about anybody who was attacking me either. I understand it. But my point is, you didn't hear. I know that. But you weren't going to even hear about us. And anybody who had a challenge against this system that they hold in such regard and high esteem as being the best system in the world. the best kind of judicial system, the best kind of legislative system, the best kind of monetary system, the best is the United Snakes of America. No, you were right, Jay. But
there ain't nothing good about that. There ain't nothing, as far as I'm concerned, when we put it into its most broadened and complete scope, that's good about the Yoruba.
No.
The white man ain't worth The white man ain't worth nothing.
No.
The best thing you could do is stay away from him. You know, it was like I was telling my old lady last night. I said, the one thing I never tolerate is the disrespect from a white man once I gain into consciousness.
Right.
You know what I mean?
I agree.
Because then, you know, I had to make a choice. I was either going to accept it, I was going to put my foot in his behind.
Yeah.
And depending on if there was never nobody around that could witness it, 9 out of 10, I was going upside his head.
Yeah.
And believe me, I've lost a few jobs because of it, but I didn't care. It was just necessary. Because the worst thing in the world is for a white man to think that he could talk to you any type of way that he wanted to and get away with it. And I could just imagine, OG, the things that you went through in the beginning of your career.
Sure.
As a fireman.
Exactly.
With those races, because I know what they did to the in New York City.
Yep, and the Vulcans.
I've never thought of that. And listen, it done cost me some things.
Yeah.
But when it's all said and done, it was worth it to stand up for my
always, always.
And my manhood.
Right.
And listen, Ocho, are you coming in on Friday?
Yes, I'll be then Black Friday. You know I'm gonna talk about that,
okay.
And it's history. You know I am.
Yeah, because let me tell you something. Any black person that got an ounce of sense, I hope they don't spend a dime on Friday.
And if they do, they spend it with us. If they do, make it a real Black Friday. Listen, Jay, you know I gotta go. Love you, appreciate you, dear brother.
Hotel. Enjoy your family. Tomorrow.
All right, you too, dear brother. In peace.
To the family out there also.
Right on. We end this program like we end all of our programs with the words of Stephen Biko. The most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the minds of the oppressed. And this program is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind. But not just the M-I-N-D, but the M-I-N-E. Because under the feet of African people lies all of the resources that everybody wants. Think they can't do without and they don't want to pay for. Brothers and sisters, have a blessed day. Have a blessed day tomorrow with your family. Shem Hotep means go in peace. Esante Sana means thank you. Bivahodia. Bivahodia means our victorious destiny. Peace, family.